Hi, I'm Robert.
As always, I'm Jared.
And this is what we really thought of Hugo 3D, The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 1, and The Muppets.
Yes.
Which is a sequel to The Muppets.
Not kill us.
That was interesting.
We about started we were Tokyo drifting everywhere.
Doesn't seem that slick out.
And everywhere we were Tokyo drifting.
Okay. Yeah, alright. So, non-spoiler first. So Hugo, directed by Marty Scorsese. I call him Marty because he's a personal friend.
Yes.
Starring Chloe Moritz, Ben Kingsley, Christopher Lee, and some kid who this is his first movie.
He did pretty good for being his first movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's his first movie.
Yeah.
Based on a book or a graphic novel, I forget which, set in 1920s, 1930s Paris. A boy named Hugo lives in a train station, and he gets involved with an old gadget maker, toy maker, and there's also a robot involved in
an automaton.
An automaton. And the history of film.
Yes.
So,
which I was not expecting.
Which you don't get that at all from the trailer. Well, you get the automaton.
Well, yeah.
But you don't get the history of film.
Yeah, I got the feeling that the movie was going to be about the automaton somehow.
Yeah.
And
unlocking the mystery of the automaton.
Yes.
Left by his late father, Jude Law, who pops up in one sequence.
Spoilers.
Well, yeah, I was half expecting a Leo DiCaprio cameo somewhere, but no.
Yeah.
Because he's been, like, Scorsese's last six or seven movies.
Anyway.
Yeah, so,
drifted off there for a second.
Let's see. So, should people see it or not? I don't know. I would say it's sort of a queer movie. I mean, there's nothing in there that isn't family-friendly, necessarily, but the subject matter may not be of interest to everyone. I mean, it does. The third act basically gets heavy into the early history of film.
Yes.
It's a love letter to that, which I guess shouldn't be surprising once it gets there, because Scorsese is a very big film restoration guy. I mean, him and Lucas, that's like, yeah, they put millions of dollars into that, that foundation for him. I would say if you're interested, and if you like 3D, definitely go see it in theaters, because the 3D is pretty incredible. Right, you know, one of the best 3D presentations I've seen.
Yes.
Shot in 3D. I would say go for that if you have an interest in 3D, but you know, just be aware of the subject matter going in. That it's not a straightforward kids adventure film thing. Okay, I've prattled on long enough. You?
I want to say go see it, because for at least the first third of the movie, it was a pretty fantastic kind of visual ride, especially the whole sequence before the title.
Oh yeah, that was cold open. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty. I was pretty impressed with that whole section.
That opening shot was just great.
Yeah, just
the push in from above, and then through the train station. But clearly the overhead bit is CGI, but then it's just straight into the scene. It's seamless.
Yeah.
To the train station. Yeah. How they do that? There's no track that you can see. They're just pushing straight forward through the crowd.
Yeah.
At a fairly, brisk pace.
Yeah. I was impressed. I would say definitely the kind of, you know, like what you said, keep in mind the subject matter that it's about, but I definitely think this is a movie that should be seen in theaters, especially in 3D. You know, I definitely think people should go out and see it. It's kind of a different movie. It's kind of offbeat, and it's not really a straight up kids movie. But there's no reason that it should all ages couldn't watch the movie. So I think people should get out and see this movie, especially in 3D while it's still out.
Definitely, if you're going to see it, get the 3D.
This is one of those rare occasions where I would say the 3D is definitely the way that you should see it. So, yeah.
Okay, next. The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part 1.
So, Jesus Christ.
The fourth of the Twilight movies, based on the fourth and last book. It's
like they'll never
which
end.
Which has been split into two movies because money.
That's what I don't get. Every time somebody asks me, like, why is this movie being split in two? Well, because Harry Potter did it, and money.
Yeah.
And the story is just so epic. It needs to be told in two parts, you're saying.
My recommendation up front, don't see it. I guess if you have an inclination, wait until the DVD and the riff tracks hit.
Yes.
And then check it. I will say, I was surprised, you know, all the ludicrous stuff is in this first part.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
There's nothing for the back half that I'm aware of. I mean, I thought from the time I vaguely remember checking out the Wikipedia for that book, that's pretty much everything.
Yeah. At least, we're keeping track of the ludicrous stuff.
Well, there's some other plot stuff, and almost all of it, because, at least, again, this is years ago, like, when the book came out and they had articles, like, yeah, and fans were really hating the thing, so I decided to look it up, and basically, the werewolf thing was the climax, it sounded like.
Yeah.
Like, everybody converged, including the werewolves, and Michael Sheen's character, like, they all converge at the same time is what it sounded like, if I remember correctly. So I'm sort of curious about what part two is besides Michael Sheen heavy.
Yeah.
Which I guess is reason to see that.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that is the finish up. Because that's the only thing I can think of. But anyway,
some very nice cinematography, I will give it that.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting end credits.
Yeah.
And an very good highlight of the movie credits tag.
Oh, the tag.
So stay through the credits. It's only like 3 minutes into the credits, so it's not that long of a wait. Clearly the highlight of the movie.
I really don't have to tell you whether or not you should see the movie, because you know whether you went to go see it. I mean, you're either a Twilight fan, you've been anticipating this, or you're every other human being on the planet at the moment, and you know that you're not going to go see the movie.
Well, there are people in between who aren't Twilight fans, but have heard of how ludicrous the movie is.
That's true.
So, what would your recommendation be to them? Those seven other people who are listening to this?
Wait until the riff tracks come out and watch it on DVD, because it'll be much more worth your while that way. Because for one, you have to slog through a lot of boring crap to get to the ludicrous parts, and they've been toned down a bit from how outright ludicrous they are described in the books. So I would say wait for the riff track so that you can at least enjoy, because that's what I'm waiting for. That's the whole reason I was excited this movie was coming out, because I get another Twilight movie with riff tracks.
Yeah, we need to, I still haven't heard Eclipse with the riff tracks.
Yeah.
Actually, I haven't heard New Moon either. I just watched
it was good.
Twilight with you.
It was
need to do that at some point.
But anyway, don't go see this movie. If you have to, wait until the DVD.
Yeah, I mean, there is some things that are interesting about it, but, you know, I'll get into that later.
Yep.
You know, I guess my biggest thing up front, I mean, before we go into spoilers later, is just sort of interested of the feel of the movie in the beginning, because it feels like we're getting dropped like halfway through.
Yeah.
Or maybe like the beginning, which is their wedding, is like the climax of the last movie almost.
Uh-huh.
Because again, it's sort of a conversational feel. It doesn't feel like a movie.
Yeah.
And there's like an over familiarity with characters. I don't know exactly how to articulate it, but it feels different.
Yeah, it does.
And not necessarily in a good or bad way. It's just, it's different than what the other movies have felt like so far.
Yep.
At least in the beginning, in that opening. So, I know, it was just her odd. Okay, and The Muppets. Directed by the guy behind Flight of the Conchords, forget his name. Co-written, produced, and starring Jason Segel. Co-stars Amy Adams. The Muppets, of course. You have Kermit the Frog, Fozzie Bear, Miss Piggy, Walter. The new Muppet, Walter. What do you think?
I really enjoyed it. It definitely made me happy. I don't know that it lived up to all my expectations, but which is weird to say. But I definitely enjoyed it. people should definitely go see it.
What is your position on the Muppets? What is your experience or history with them?
I don't have as much of a soft spot in my heart for the Muppets because I didn't necessarily grow up with the Muppets. So I don't think the movie's not quite as heartwarming as it could be for me. But I definitely enjoyed it. And it's definitely still, you know, I definitely still like the Muppets. And, you know, I definitely still enjoyed myself with it. But, you know, that's just me personally. It's not quite as heartwarming as it could be because, you know, I don't have as much of a childhood connection as some of the people would.
My history, my past with the Muppets is mostly, you know, post Jim Henson. I haven't seen the show. It's one of those things I want to get around to at some point, but mm-hmm. I haven't. I believe I saw the original film a long time ago, like when I was a kid, and I think I saw The Great Muppet Caper. At least I remember some bits of that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see whatever the third one was. Or, no, that was the third one. Okay, so I didn't see the second one where they went to Manhattan.
Yeah.
But I did watch Muppet Treasure Island and Muppet Christmas Carol a lot. I remember some having, at one point, entire portions of Muppet Treasure Island memorized.
Nice.
And, you know, I watched their TV specials. I mean, their 90s specials, but most of them were not good. But you know what? I was rooting for this. I like Jason Segel.
Yes.
I didn't have a hate for the Muppets. I mean, I did like those movies, so mm-hmm. I was looking forward to it. I liked it. I liked it a lot, especially on the first viewing. This was my second time going in. A little less funny, of course, once you've heard the jokes, so...
Yeah.
But I thought it was excellently written.
Yes.
I enjoyed the songs. I thought the cameos were well done.
Oh, that's something that should be up front. It is a musical.
Yeah, there
If
there
you didn't
are,
know.
Yeah, there are songs in it. Several songs. Like the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anything that you would change about it?
Not really. I don't know. I might dig a bit more into that in our longer discussion, but...
Yeah. I would say the resolution was a little bit lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple bits I thought they would have gone into more. But
yeah.
Overall, I enjoyed it a lot. I would highly recommend seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Get them another movie. Get them
yes.
More, get
definitely.
Them another TV show or whatever.
Yes.
You know.
Let's, the Muppets should be popular
money.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's it for the non-spoiler section. And spoilers. Okay, so...
Seamless transition.
You go.
All right.
You go. So, do you think they're going to hook up, those kids?
That's going to get really awkward.
Hugo?
Yeah, I do. It's going to get awkward.
Did you actually feel romantic tension? Because that's something where I was ambiguous about, where
well,
it could
they were...
easily play as, you know, just friends or like a, you know, a sort of... type relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was
well,
a kiss on the cheek and mm-hmm. holding hands.
Well, see, they were kids, so it was more adorable and less romantic in kind of my eyes, you know? But it was kind of one of those relationships that I could definitely see as a they got older and, you know, because they got older, feelings kind of came up type thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely see that, but it's just the concept of, oh, that's going to get awkward. They're living in the same house.
So I had heard, at least from the, you know, I don't, my policy, I guess I haven't made this clear in the podcast before, is I generally don't read reviews until after we, you know, do our videos or our
mm-hmm.
podcasts or whatever.
I try to stay away.
But I will, you know, check the headlines just
yeah.
to see. Especially if it's something where I'm not sure if I want to see it or not, I'll may go to, like, the first paragraph or something.
Yeah.
But on this, I had heard that it was a love letter to early film.
Okay.
So I thought it was just going to be homage heavy.
Oh, okay.
I didn't expect the entire third act to basically be film history 101.
Yeah, that was a little surprising for me because I didn't know that coming into it. The trailers really suggest kind of a different type of...
Yeah, it's like these kids, and they have a robot, and
mm-hmm.
they try and unlock the secrets.
I don't know. I was trying
robot.
To. I was trying to think of a movie that would be good to compare it to that. That it kind of felt like it was going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but more of a kids movie type feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was really expecting it to be that way.
I mean, it's family friendly, but didn't play like a kids film.
It's definitely not pandering to kids by any means.
It felt more like an adult film that happened to star kids.
Yes.
You know?
But, you know, it was weird looking at it through the, and this is kind of one of the things I wanted to touch on, looking at it in the trailers and now watching the movie was in this weird space where it almost felt like it wasn't real, visually speaking. Yeah. It almost looked like it was an animated movie. You know, if you looked at the trailers real quick.
Yeah. I would say that opening, you know, shots that push into the train station.
Yeah.
At first glance, especially because we had, like, just seen a trailer for Tintin.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, this computer animated? It's not.
It almost looked like we were getting ready to go into Tintin there for a second. It was crazy. And then the real people showed up. I was like, this doesn't even look like it's real.
There's a distinct visual style, and the 3D is excellently shot. There's some very, I wouldn't quite say stunning, but memorable sequences.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Definitely. I definitely love the title sequence. Before that whole thing was like, I could have just like watched that right there and been like, okay, that was cool. I'm good. You know, it was the, if I was going to look at the movie as like an overall, the first half felt kind of strong to me just because I was really into the visual look. They had a lot of really cool shots in this movie.
Yeah.
And just the way that the narrative was kind of playing itself out really organically.
I remember the boy's name. It's Asa or Asa Butterfield, I think.
Okay.
Just interesting.
But I loved how organically it was kind of coming together. I loved how one thing, faded right into another. There wasn't really a distinct, all right, here's the cut, and then we're going to this, you know. But like the third half, where they started getting really heavy into the film, the film homage now, was where it really started to weigh, and I was like, I all of a sudden don't like this movie as much anymore. You know, I really wanted it to stay that kind of whimsical movie it started out feeling like. You
different
know what I mean?
Different tone. Yeah.
Yeah. It got really emotionally heavy, and they didn't really do the transition right. They just kind of let it happen. Like, it's not like there's a clunky, like, and then we're in the exposition dump type thing, you know what I mean?
Well, some of it was pretty clunky, like when Hugo and Isabella, you know, break out all the sketches, which I'm guessing were production designs for the guy's movies,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, you're a cruel boy.
Yeah, there were some very contrived moments.
What that is, he doesn't know why you're calling him cruel, he doesn't know why you're hurt.
Yeah, that was where it really started to feel awkward all of a sudden, like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, it was the first half that really kind of enchanted me, you know, to the whole world. I loved how they did the flashback. It almost felt organic.
Yeah,
like, most of the time, flashbacks feel really clunky, and it almost felt organic the way that they pulled it off.
And I like the metaphor. Yeah, it's a movie in his mind. You know,
yeah.
With that.
Mm-hmm. That was, yeah. See, like, there's some really strong stuff going on in the movie, and then it kind of doesn't follow through right. It's weird. It's kind of like they started out wanting one movie, and then they started making another, and they're like, oh, wait, but we wanted this. Let's just kind of force it into that, force it into the spot that we want it to. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the film stuff, even though the whole narrative is based around it, almost feels shoehorned in there at the end.
And there's some stuff that sort of has an awkward resolution, like, hey, we sort of build up a tiny romance. Actually, there's like two or three romances mm-hmm. going on. Yeah, there's the possible kids thing, or at least budding relationship.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sort of pays off because he basically unofficially adopts the kid, as far as we know.
Yeah.
There's the
Gustav and the
Inspector Gustav and the flower girl.
I couldn't
which
help.
Just all of a sudden.
Uh huh.
And there's also just him in general. I mean, he's built up as the villain of the film, and then just
he doesn't really get
the
payoff.
He saves the kid from getting hit by a train, which for some reason wasn't stopping right before it stopped anyway. It's the end of the tracks.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, oh, there's a kid. We had to hit the brakes. We didn't have to hit the brakes because it was the end of the tracks? No.
No, it's because of the kid.
Yeah.
Also, why was the key
and
there?
And then instantly, well, that was a dream
sequence. Ah, I thought the key was still there.
Nope.
Well, I did walk out on
it. It was the robot.
Okay.
The robot fell down there. Gustav tackled him and the robot fell, and so he went down, dived down to get the robot.
But even there.
But, you know, and then all of a sudden, Gustav, after he, like, yells at Gustav something that I couldn't quite make out because he's crying while he was saying it. Gustav's convinced, and then the guy's like, this is my, he's mine, he's my family.
Yeah, I came at that part.
Like, okay, all right, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then instantly we're supposed to feel happy for Gustav in the end sequence when he shows up with Flower Girl and basically a new leg brace.
Well, they did establish in the part that you walked out to get a refill on that Gustav was himself an orphan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That one section?
Yeah, in that one section. They literally have one throwaway part of the dialogue that shows that Gustav is
right
an orphan.
Right before he chases after the kid or something.
It's after he catches him the first time. He breaks out. The kid breaks out of his little jail cell. Like, when I told you that the kid gets caught in the most contrived means ever, he just basically, he gets stuck in a part where, in a moment where, like, Gustav is there talking to the old couple with the dogs.
Damn.
And he's hiding in the corner, and the dogs come over to be dogs around him, and then Gustav was like, what's going on here? Hey, you're that kid! And then basically drags him out. I was like, really? That's how he's gonna get caught? He gets out of every situation except this one?
That was the other thing, was the old couple. Like, that seemed to be sort of nerve-butting relationship.
But it was just kind of a running thing in the movie, as is the way I kind of took it. Yeah. And even with, like, the Gustav thing, I couldn't help but really like the character, because there were some really lovable parts right at the beginning, like, particularly the him first trying to walk up to her and his leg locking up.
Yeah.
That thing. And that actually brings me into another thing I wanted to touch on before I forget. I really liked the score in this movie, especially right at the beginning, and I'll tell you why. It was, again, the follow through is what kind of killed this movie for me. But the first third of the movie, the music is so organically interlaced with what's going on in the scene, to the point to where when people are playing music, the music that they're playing flows right along with the score. I loved how the score both kind of kept pace with the movie and almost set the pace at the same time through a lot of the really cool shots and stuff like that, to the point like where, like, that scene I was talking about where Gustav is walking up to the flower lady, when his leg locks up and he stops, the music stops dead, which makes it that much more of a dramatic pause. And then as soon as he knocks it back in place, the music organically starts back in. And I loved how interlaced the music was. That's why I really wish the rest of the movie had just been as kind of whimsical and, like, free-flowing as that whole part had been.
Of course, it's we don't know how much of that was their own original take on the material and how much that was the source material of delving heavily into the early history of film.
Yes.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, just from a, you know, strictly how I experienced it part.
Yeah.
That I really loved how that happened. That's why I really I liked the way the score sounded. I liked the score, especially the main theme. It had a really cool kind of chord progression in it that I really kind of enjoyed, and like I said, just the way the music was interlaced really well right there at that right there at the beginning. It kind of, again, fell apart a little bit closer to the end, but I really liked so that, like I said, there are some really strong parts at the beginning that I really loved and really were kind of endearing to me, but then that second half just kind of got really clunky and just kind of killed the whole mood for me, and it really made me walk away with really mixed feelings at the end of it.
There's some good acting. I mean, Ben Kingsley does great work as Papa, whatever his real character name is. George something. Chloe Moritz does a decent job as Isabella. I mean, she doesn't get a lot to play. No. I mean, she's just the friend who brings out $10 words in her conversations.
And
is excited for adventures.
But her and the other kid...
She doesn't have a lot of emotional content. Well, no. Hugo has a lot of character development, but I didn't like him as much.
Really?
he felt a little bit awkward to me, and not, like, purposely awkward, you know, just, like...
How so?
I don't know. Just some of his deliveries and some of the shots, he seemed like he didn't quite know what to do, and it wasn't, like, a direction, like, you don't know what to do. It just seemed like, okay, what... I'm... shouldn't be on film right now. I just got that.
See, I don't know. For some reason, you know, they kind of endeared themselves to me. And now part of it could have just been my feeling about the whole beginning of it. But they kind of endeared themselves to me a little bit because while, yeah, some of the especially near the end, some of the scenes felt a lot more contrived. I don't know. Their characters felt kind of, again, organic to me, the way that they kind of interacted with each other and... The way the whole thing kind of let itself happen, you know what I mean?
Her key fits in his lock.
That's true. And that was the first moment where I was like, well, that's kind of contrived. Why does she just happen to have the key around her neck that he's been looking for this whole time? But I don't know. Again, it was one of those early on things where I really liked the way that. He really felt like a troubled kid that had no idea what the hell he was doing with his life. And she really did feel like a little girl that was, like, really trying to figure out her place, too. Because she's, you know, she likes... All she really knows about herself is she really likes books and really likes big words. But her conversations with the kid, it was almost like she was stretching to try to figure out, how the hell do I communicate with this kid? He doesn't understand half the things I say. Like that one part where, like, they're in the library and she's like, you know, you don't read books?
And then he's the same way, like, you've never seen movies?
Yeah, yeah. But the one where he's like,
incidentally,
of course I do.
That's probably the most awkward use of Christopher Lee I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He pops up in, like, three shots or three scenes.
As the librarian.
And he doesn't really get anything to do.
However, I will say, like I said, during the movie, that's the first, I didn't think he could be unimposing.
Yeah, they did manage to make him...
Like, he just looks like a bad guy most of the time, even when he's not even trying to. And in this, he was like, oh, well, that's kind of fun.
Okay, so we've gone on that for 15 minutes.
Yeah, sorry. That was the one I had the most mixed feelings about.
Yeah, there is more to discuss on that than the other two.
I want to watch it again.
You really don't want to talk about Twilight.
No, I don't. I really loved the beginning, but... Yeah. Anyway.
So, Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part 1.
Part 1.
We have to wait a whole year for Part 2.
Oh, tragic. Oh, tragic.
Yeah.
Can you imagine watching all of these?
Director Bill Condon did Dreamgirls and Kinsey. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He is a good director on those films. On this, maybe that's one of the reasons it felt different was... Seemed like they were more convincing as actors in the beginning a little bit. You know, there was more of a chemistry. Like,
you know
they
what?
Played together well.
You're right. That was weird. I'm used to them being really wooden and like not there. And yeah, they actually did kind of seem like they existed.
Yeah, like it was a real universe that we were actually peeking in on instead of.
Yeah, and I'm sure the way the opening played. Kind of helped on that, because like I said, it felt like we were dropped into the middle of a movie. Like, wait, it was almost like they never stopped filming the movie before that one and just kind of kept filming on through and then just decided to put the cut right there.
Yeah,
you know, it was weird. It didn't feel like the movie started organically as a movie. Like, and it felt like, you know, like we return now to our continuing story already in progress.
Well, it is a saga.
That's true. But yeah, I guess.
So, the things I thought were more, well, not most interesting, but things I want to mention, because they just brush by them, I'm not sure if you noticed, but yeah, this island is Carlisle's gift to us, and then that's it.
What? He gave you an island?
He owns an island, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently. They have pre-existing housekeepers that seem to know that he's a vampire.
But not know? Like, they haven't told him, but they suspect that he's a demon from the underworld?
So it seems like it's not just a gift, like Mei's been there before.
And also they said that she's, you know, that they, you know, that she knows the old folklore. She's seen this kind of thing. Wait, do vampires regularly take concubines up there and knock them up? What the fuck's going on with this island?
Also, they have a jet, I guess.
Apparently.
Or they chartered a jet.
I guess.
I guess if you live hundreds of years, you can get a lot of cash.
Like I said, immortality
they just
has
sort of tossed that off. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a gift. Well, yeah, that's a pretty good gift. But you want to go in? No. Okay, you're not gonna.
I can't help feeling that they went to. I can't help feeling that they went to Rio just for the sake of having that statue in the background.
That's the third or fourth movie this year to use Rio. I mean, there was Rio.
There was
that
Rio.
Was a film.
That
there
was
Fast Five.
Yes.
And there's this.
Yep.
And there may be a fourth somewhere. But
that should tell you something.
So those were the two things on the top of my head that I'm not sure you noticed.
Well, I probably did. I know the housekeeper thing bugged the fuck out of me.
And also, hello, Maggie Grace.
Yes.
In your obvious vampire context. Goodbye, Maggie Grace.
Yep.
Hi, Carmingo. Last name also starts with a C from Dexter.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
I liked you in Dexter. Oh, goodbye. I guess I'll see you in the next movie.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Both of you. Possibly.
Yep.
I mean, I guess, because they build up Maggie. Well, they mention Maggie Grace, I guess, was shacked up with dead black vampire from number two.
Yeah, that kind of came out of fucking nowhere for me.
Who's now a dead mutant from X-Men First Class.
Yep. Yep.
Just can't catch a break.
Yep, nope. fuck.
I don't believe that he tried to get... He wanted to be peaceful like us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the weird part was, like, they built that... They put something there. Like, they were building to something, and then nothing. But then again, I guess that's the series.
Yeah.
What is the talk?
It'll be like Matrix 2 and 3, where they had, like, the train man and, like, the Indian people in the background of the French restaurant scene, and then they mm-hmm. pop up, you know, in a bigger role in number
yeah.
3.
Maybe.
There's a comparison you never thought. Matrix 2 and 3. Twilight.
Actually, well, you know,
5.
All things considered. Okay, so I couldn't help but involuntarily laugh every time I saw her dad. One, because he seems like one of the few, like, awesome characters that exist within this world of just complete, just an utter stupid. He's, like, one of, like, the only, like, seems like, you know, like, I don't know, just, like entertaining people.
Yeah, he's probably the most entertaining character. Well, second most entertaining character.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, but, we will.
But he's also sort of one of the most idiotic, just because he hasn't caught on or said anything about
yeah, you'd think
what's
he would
going
have.
On. Like, hey, all these people have weird yellow eyes. Is that genetic
and
or something?
And he's like...
Hey, she comes back, you know, off a mysterious trip to Rome, and she's got, like... scars and stuff sometimes when she gets back from
And he's like somehow, maybe, possibly, they don't really go into it, but possibly dating someone of the werewolf tribe, and
yeah,
he doesn't know.
Was that what was going on?
Yeah, that's what was going on.
Was that
yeah.
the hint there
yeah.
where they had the one look and then
later he's there.
Then wheelchair chief bumps into him like is that like a warning, or
to bring up a joke that made me particularly laugh in the riff tracks? Is it racist if they call him Ironsides? Is it like inappropriate if they call him Ironsides? I think that's what they were maybe implying. Implies that they were subtle about it.
I mean, because they only shared two scenes together, and
yeah.
it was, like, 5 seconds each, so I couldn't really tell.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they were going for, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, but...
Not like they're going to get a chance to pay it off. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, maybe part two needs some padding, so maybe...
Yeah, they definitely will. They put all the crazy shit in this one.
Yeah.
which is possibly the most disappointing thing about this. The crazy has been dialed back some. Like, the moments still happen, and it's still, they're still fucking insane because they happened, but they dial them back to where, like, they're not near as crazy as they sounded in your mind when you read it. Like,
they cut some of it. Like, instead of vampire snorkeling, we have vampire cliff diving or waterfall jumping.
And super fast packing ability.
And instead of having sex first time so hard that
she goes into a coma.
Yeah, instead of that,
fucked into
she
a coma.
Sort of
gets hurt.
Wakes up and has some bruises that she doesn't notice.
Also, was I the only one that was confused when they were showing the montage of what happened the night before, whether or not it was a montage of them having sex multiple times, or whether
I think that's what it was at first. And
yeah,
then
yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
Interrupted.
No, it's not. Okay, so that was weird. That was weird. And then in all the moments happen. Except for that one gets changed, but she still gets opened up C-section style with Edward's teeth, which was. I felt
that
bad.
That was well done.
I felt bad laughing through that whole section. Like, because there's people in the movie theater that probably actually wanted to see the movie, and I'm just sitting here laughing.
Yeah.
Through these whole sections that are supposed to be
technically
not funny.
The ironic hipsters who came to see the movie in the midst of the actual fans.
There was one moment that I couldn't help but laugh quite a bit at. And the reason I kept going, just laughing to myself, is because the moment when they finally get the baby out and they're all happy about looking at the baby, it's like, all I can imagine is just a deadpan downward shot of just her, like, eviscerated form, just blood everywhere, and they're just calmly looking at this baby like, oh, we did it. Oh, wait, that's right. She's still laid open on this table.
I thought her, pregnancy makeup was well done. I mean, she looked like she was on crystal meth.
She did. She did look like there was something sucking the life out of her.
Yeah, that was
that was what was weird. The movie overall, just everything just kind of happens, which got brought up in that article you sent me. But like, it just kind of like, okay, this happens, and then this happens, and this happens. But there were some weird some aspects that I wasn't used to. Them being like semi-competent,
yeah.
Like the acting,
yeah.
Like all of a sudden the characters felt like characters, somewhat, and like that makeup, you know. Some of the scenes. Now, one I couldn't help but laugh hysterically at, which has been brought up to me before, is the whole scene of the wolves telepathically talking.
Oh, that was you laughed through that entire thing.
God damn it, that's funny.
And that was pretty surreal.
Yeah. Just the whole, it's like
werewolf conference next to the pile of logs.
It was just kind of, why did they choose to do it? Man, I don't know. I know they chose to do it that way because it happens that way in the book. But it's kind of like, why did it happen like this?
It also brings up one of the biggest inconsistencies in the movie, where Jacob pissed off at what was he pissed off at that point? That just that she didn't want to get rid of the baby. Was that it?
You know, I don't know. They spend so long, so much of the movie being pissed at each other and then not pissed. I couldn't remember why they were pissed at the moments they were pissed.
So he was pissed for some reason, probably because she didn't want to
give up
the baby.
Well, because she was pregnant and like somehow it was like, you did this to her.
Oh, that's
what?
Why,
I didn't even know this was fucking possible.
Right, that's why. Because he was convinced she was going to die from the pregnancy.
Which
wouldn't give up the baby.
Which brings up a good
which
point.
Which
was
true.
One, how the fuck does vampire pregnancy work? And two, if vampires are undead and they don't have any blood flowing through their veins, how do they get an erection?
Well, that's going to be a throwaway joke in my vampire script.
Oh, okay.
Not even joking.
Nice.
Yeah. So he angrily runs away and turns into wolf form and then calls a werewolf conference.
It's more impromptu.
And tells them, you know, basically on their way to meet up. Yeah, I guess they read each other's minds.
Yeah, but the way that they do it is just so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah,
just,
and they're all overlapping, and they're chatting before they get to the conference, so I couldn't really tell what they're saying. But, you know, he tells them that she's having, you know, an undead baby or whatever.
Undead demon baby.
And then they're like, okay,
she's having death.
Well,
if the maid or the woman that works at the island that takes care of the house is to be believed, she's having death.
Well, I thought that was her solution, was death, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Or turning her into a demon. Either way, it could go either way. You know, basically killing her would be the only way to get out of it, or turn her into one of you.
But anyway.
Was my read. But anyway, yeah, so he lets them know about the vampire baby. They're like, okay, well, we have to kill her, and, you know, wait, you're not going to wait until she finishes the pregnancy and then just kill a baby? No, we're going to kill her. Oh, well, I'm pissed now, so I'm going to go off on my own.
Well,
and
you can't kill Bella. Yeah, the whole thing seems to be like they're...
Then he tells them, okay, this is their plan of attack. And they're like, we owe you great debt, Jacob. What? Why? He tipped them off in the first place.
Them off. They wouldn't be trying to kill you if otherwise. Yeah. You've done us a great service. Also, what the fuck did those two leave for?
The other two?
Yeah.
Well,
the mom and dad. They're like...
They went to get blood for her.
Okay, because they're like, anything we can do to help save her. And then they leave right at the moment that she basically goes into labor.
Well, she goes right after they cross. But, yeah, they were going to get blood.
It just bugged me because they throw away... They throw that away so much that it, like, wait a minute. Why did they leave?
They were out of their stockpile blood, so they went to get some for the baby. And
then they come back, like, empty-handed, basically. Because they sensed a disturbance in the Force, I guess.
Well, they called him on the cell phone.
A disturbance in the Force.
Good cell reception in the woods there.
Yeah. Just, it was...
Better than anything working.
Yeah. I guess Jacob and Edward's, you know, attitude towards Bella... Which Bella wasn't spouting off as much pro-life stuff as I was expecting her to.
A little bit, but not a lot. You know,
she was just kind of there.
Yeah.
That whole part.
So, another thing. So, clearly, she loves Jacob and Edward. She just loves Edward more.
Mm-hmm.
But they also never consider, say, threesome, maybe? That's never...
The unholy trinity.
Devil's three-way?
Yes.
Devil's three-way? I mean...
Yes.
In terms of, I love you both. Mm-hmm. I can't decide. Yeah, I love you, Jake.
The name.
I can't understand this relationship you have, but maybe you can
those names.
Change your mind.
The name of the baby.
EJ.
What the fuck is that?
I've heard names like that. But
as I did tell you, I can't remember what the name of the baby is at the end, like the female name.
Renesmee.
But it does sound a bit like an unholy demon that you summon to kill your enemies.
Sounds French-Italian or something.
Oh, my God. The movie, again, like the third one, I walked away from it feeling surprisingly mediocre about... The movie was surprisingly mediocre.
Yeah.
And this one, it's long. It's painfully long.
Well, it's less than 2 hours. Like, I
it still
I
felt
think
really
it's,
fucking
it's not
long
the longest.
Me.
New Moon is
no.
the longest.
Yes, it is.
I think this
that
is
one
the
is
second shortest. I think
yeah.
Twilight is the shortest, and mm-hmm. this is number two, and then Eclipse, and then New
but
Moon
it,
is the longest.
But that's not to say that it didn't feel padded, because it...
Oh, yeah.
I felt every minute of that
20 minutes
movie.
To a half an hour on the wedding sequence.
Oh, my God.
I did like that nightmare, though, where they kill everybody.
Yeah, I wanted to see... That was something I wanted
Which
to bring up.
Which is one of the two appearances of Michael Sheen as the head Volturi.
Yeah, I wanted to
Clearly
see...
Clearly the highlight of the movie,
yeah.
the best actor.
I wanted to see that movie. Where's the movie where they go crazy and kill everybody? Or why wasn't the cameras following the bachelor party? The way the vampire bachelor party was described, it was like, that sounds twice as awesome as what I'm watching right now. It was apparently vampires going off, and for their bachelor party, they were going to go off and hunt bears and cougars in the woods.
Cougar town.
It's just like, why wasn't the camera following that? That sounds like a much better movie than this.
Because it's not part of the original text.
Oh, fuck the original text. Anyway, yeah.
Anything else?
The tag.
All right, so yeah, about 3 minutes after the stylized portion of the credits, there's immediately the tag where someone pops up, I guess a human assistant because they eat her.
Yeah.
Who clearly knows they're vampires because she's afraid of them.
Yes.
Yeah, brings them what looks like is a handwritten invitation,
mm-hmm.
like by Carlisle, but I guess it to isn't let them know. Because he's like Carlisle with an S. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what that was about, but that's not the important part of the tag.
Yeah,
the important part of the tag is the Volturi show back up.
He hams it up. He has Fabio Volturi sitting next to on his right, and on his left there's the kid who popped up in the last two, I think. And
it just
well, I guess
it up.
This is what we're done with Carlisle.
No.
This is. Goes far beyond the fate of one human.
Human. He almost says it like, human.
He has something that I want.
It was him hamming it up just like he did in the second movie.
Yep, second.
But damn it. I just, like I brought up to you, it was like, you know what would be awesome? Like a small, like short-running, like series about just them settling disputes from their chairs.
Yeah.
Just like that's always been the thing about Twilight. Like, there's certain things that go on in Twilight where you're like, why aren't we watching a movie about that? Like the Civil War vampire. Fucking Harpo. Like, why were... Or the is it Rose, or...
I think so.
But her, the way she got turned, like much more interesting stories go on within the confines of Twilight than what we're actually paying attention to.
Yeah.
like, that you would, like, well, I would, you know, if I'm gonna choose, I would much rather be watching this story than whatever the fuck's going on right now, you know?
Or, Edward is proto-Dexter.
Yeah. Yeah, Edward was apparently the original Dexter.
Yeah, just killing...
killing murderers.
Murderers and rapists in the 1920s.
Damn. that was kind of comical. Yeah. I would rather watch you know, like, you had that Lion King 1.5.
Yeah.
Where they followed Timon and Pumbaa. A Twilight kind of... like extra where we follow the events of the movies, but we're following all the times where the Volturi were just sitting around doing nothing.
Yep.
Like that's going on, but like they're doing other stuff. They're just sitting in their chairs just discussing stuff. like that would be that much more interesting. But that's just because that one little tag of him hamming it up was
anything
pretty entertaining.
Else, comment, criticism before we end on the Muppets?
No, bad movie. Not as bad as I was expecting now looking back at it, but bad movie.
We had to wait a whole year for part two.
I know, it's tragic.
And it's nothing.
Be strong. Yeah, I know, that's going to be the worst part. It's going to be more nothing than like...
Michael Sheen. It does seem like it'll be Michael Sheen heavy.
Nice, that would be happy.
That would be the... You know,
the highlight,
the best case scenario.
Yeah,
would be.
But God forbid it's as long as two. Two was unforgivably long, and if it's as long as that one was, just for the sake of it being long, that might be more than I can take.
Make it 90 minutes so it can make more box office, more showings.
Yep,
more showings.
Wrap that fucker up.
Oh, that was the other thing. So it ends with a montage, you know, basically her life is passing before her eyes.
Remember that one time you were a baby?
It felt like it was the end of the entire series. Like, that would be something you put at the end of the series, right?
Like, she did just die?
The end of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, her looking back on everything that's happened during these movies and her early life.
God, and that one moment where, like, the will she, won't she open her eyes thing that they actually ended on.
Yeah.
Why did they draw that out as long as they did?
So now they missed their opportunity to fake her, to stage her death for Charlie, because obviously they didn't know she was going to make it, but...
Yeah. But
now,
just...
I'm not sure how they're going to explain that to him, especially since they have a kid now.
Yeah. But just, it... That particularly bugged me, because, like, they had that whole, like, they're all watching her intently, like, oh my god, will she open her eyes? It's like, you just watched her wounds magically heal and the color magically return to her face, despite the fact that she's now undead and should look dead.
Yeah.
Which bugged me again. I'm like it's like she's slowly coming back to life. Wait, isn't she what she's slowly coming back to unlife? Like, how does that work? How is this? I don't understand how. That was the one time in the movie, in all these movies, where I seriously questioned how vampirism worked in the confines of this movie. Like, what the fuck is up with that? And then, like, there's just the whole. And it's, you know, they do the whole. The circle the camera around, like, on her face, and it's like, she's getting ready to open her eyes. Right?
Boom.
Right?
Well, they didn't hold that long.
Yeah, they did?
No, it's like 4 seconds. I counted. I was like, okay, it's clearly counting. 1,000.
Okay, maybe it felt like, but it felt like a really long time.
Probably just
like,
because you knew what the shot was.
God damn it, seemed, just fucking finish it. Yeah, but yeah. Anyway. Okay.
So, Muppets.
Muppets.
I don't want to talk about any of the cameos except to mention that Danny Trejo isn't in it.
Unfortunately.
And my guess is they got like 5 or 10 cameos that got cut out that'll be on the DVD.
But Danny Trejo has had a pretty good run of cameos recently, so.
Yeah. And, besides that, I won't go into specifics,
yeah.
Just because part of the fun is the surprise on that, but there are sort of wee cameos. I like the songs.
Yes.
I did think probably the worst, or at least the cheesiest, was Me Party.
Yep. We can fully agree on that. That was the only kind of painful one.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
It wasn't a terrible song, per se. It just... The subject matter was so...
Yeah, and the staging, too.
Yeah.
The resolution was sort of rushed, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, they literally, during the credits, resolve their issues with the theater.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a throwaway gag.
Yeah.
Almost literally a throwaway gag.
Yep. Almost. Yeah, you're right. Almost literally.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess the way I kind of want to frame this whole talking about the Muppets thing is, I think we both agreed we liked the movie.
Yeah.
But I felt like a little like it wasn't as good as it could have been, and it wasn't quite as exciting as I wanted it to be. You know, like I kind of walked away with a slight feeling of disappointment. Not like a grand like, oh, that movie was terrible, but. Like, where I was like, wow, I was really expecting to walk out of that movie raving. Like, oh my god, Muppets.
Yeah.
You need to... But I really wasn't. I was walking out going, yeah, that was a good movie. Why was that? Why was it slightly kind of...
Maybe overhyped, especially after all those excellent viral trailers.
That's true. That's one thing I brought up that I kind of wish the campaign for this, the viral campaign, could just go on without the movie.
Yeah.
You know, all the fake trailers and stuff. That would be awesome.
I'm not sure. Mates.
For me, kind of looking back on
it's hard to dissect comedy. You know?
Yeah. It felt a little bit too lenient with its plot.
Yeah.
I really kind of wish the plot had been a little bit more solid because the movie's very self-referential.
Yeah.
You know, it very much revels in the fact that it's a movie. And I don't have a problem with that. In fact, that's where some of the funny stuff comes from.
Definitely.
But it almost felt a little too lenient with it. It almost felt like that could have been a Muppet special. The concept, what they made an entire movie about, could have made up kind of like a short little 60-minute Muppet special.
Definitely.
It really packed it in. The movie almost felt like it was padding itself out to be a full movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that kind of, I think that might have been what bugged me. The movie didn't feel near as, like, it didn't come to life for me as much as I really wanted it to. Like, the same feeling that I got when Hugo started, I wanted that feeling when I watched The Muppets. You know, where I immediately got sucked into the world and was like, yes, that's what I like. That's what I want. You know, like, I wanted that with the Muppets, and I didn't really get it.
I did like that they treated them as real characters.
Yes.
But I also didn't like how quickly they brushed past some of it. Like, why did Piggy and Kermit break up? We don't really get that. She's, oh, you didn't want to marry me! But they didn't. I mean, I guess they do touch on just a little bit more with, it's always we and not I. Mm-hmm. I need you. But it also seems like given how quickly they get back together, that uh-huh. was something they should have had a deeper issue with.
And need I bring up again the whole concept they need to get put the money together to get the... Like I said, the Gonzo thing I can let go. But Miss Piggy, in the course, like when they kind of go to find everybody, Miss Piggy, I won't reveal too much, but she has seemed to have a prominent spot in like an important business, and like I'm just kind of like, doesn't she have any contacts? Like, doesn't she have money? Like, what the? Did they just forget that
she would be well paid, as would Gonzo, and they would both have private and possibly celebrity contacts that they could tap into. Mm-hmm. Easily to raise the money needed.
Yeah, that just felt like a really...
They threw that away.
Even for that movie, it felt really contrived that they didn't go that route. Like, that they could have dealt with that a little bit better. There's just some moments in the movie that felt like they could have been a lot sharper, you know? Yeah. Comedy-wise. I was really looking for a really smart, put-together movie. I know it's a Muppet movie, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
Even still, it's not like who they had working with them was bad at what they were doing. They certainly didn't put together a bad movie. It just felt it was a little bit too lackadaisical for me. I was really hoping that it was going to be a little bit sharper, a little bit more dense. One of those movies you can watch again and again and see something new each time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With this, you can pretty much take this movie at face value. One time through, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really didn't have that same quality that some of the older Muppet stuff has, where it really endearing and really kind of like one of those classics type thing. I guess that was for me what was missing in this movie. That sense, that timeless sense, you know, that some of the other ones have.
Yeah.
I was really looking for that, and I didn't quite get that. And I think that might have been why I was a wee bit disappointed by it. You know, that the movie could be taken so much at face value that there wasn't something a little bit deeper to dig into.
I get you.
So I guess,
my other problem, I guess plot-wise, is that the only Walter's talent at the end,
mm-hmm.
the only time we get him with that is during the
performance.
We Built This City.
Oh, yeah.
There's a 2-second bit where he whistles.
Yep.
And that's it. There's no other foreshadowing.
There's no other lead-up.
I mean, I get that he's sort of trying to find his talent, but it would also be nice if there was
He forgot he could whistle well?
Although I suppose that would also be a problem if they foreshadowed it and it wasn't an immediate conclusion.
Mm.
Sir, if they need a little bit more.
Yeah.
But not too much
mm-hmm.
in that direction of foreshadowing them.
You know, I don't think the movie's faults are a failing of Siegel. You know?
Yeah.
Because it's not like the movie was bad.
No.
I don't know. I kind of feel like somewhere along the ride of making the movie, maybe some corners got cut or they didn't put enough forethought into what they were kind of trying to construct, you know? You know, because I love Jason Segel and I really liked him in this movie, but even him and the female
Amy lady, Adams.
Amy Adams. But even their characters feel really tacked on after a while through the movie, you know what I mean?
Well, they're the impetus, you know. Mm-hmm. They're there to get the plot rolling. And that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It just they get tossed aside a bit too quickly for my taste.
I can get why Amy Adams, Mary,
mm-hmm.
would get annoyed that he forgets their anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
But also, earlier on, like when they're involved with the Muppets, and she gets a little bit annoyed that he volunteers them for sewing costumes or
mm-hmm.
wants to hang out while she wants to sightsee. She's becoming part of history of getting the Muppets back together.
Yeah.
And helping them get their theater back. And
yeah.
She doesn't really seem that excited about
it. Yeah.
Beyond the initial, you know, getting them together montage. Mm-hmm.
She's really kind of bipolar in that sense. Like, there's sometimes where she feels like she's really on board, like, oh yeah, Muppets all the way. And then there's sometimes when the plot calls for it that she's like, I am mad about this now.
Yeah.
I guess again that kind of falls into that category of it wasn't as tight as I wanted it to be, because had the movie had a little bit more, I think, forethought into it, they could have... Well, I understand that they were going to get... That the characters were going to be pushed aside because they were just there for... But they could have been woven in a bit better. You know what I mean? There's really a moment of they're really important to the plot and now they are completely gone. And even they get wrapped up before the finish.
Yeah.
You know, I even leaned over to you, well, seeing as our plot point was wrapped up, maybe we should go back and help. You know, it felt really clunky, like, wow, we really hit this point in the movie, haven't we? Okay, well, you know, so, you know, I guess that's what I meant by it could have been tighter. Mm-hmm. I was really looking for a bit smarter of a comedy out of it, you know. But, you know, I guess it is what it is.
Anything else?
Nope, I think that covers it.
All right, that's it for what we really thought. I guess the next time we'll probably be talking about Sherlock Holmes 2. Not sure what else, we'll have to see what is going to be reaching us.
But we at least know that that one's probably going to be the next one coming up.
Alvin Chipmunk Shipwrecked.
Am I going to have to watch that, or can I continue my successful campaign of refusing to watch any of those movies?
Oh, we can refuse it, I suppose, unless there is literally nothing on that week and we really want to see something.
Successful.
Well, so I want to see something with Sherlock Holmes, but there's nothing else out. Ah, crap. Yeah, so I'm Robert.
I am Jaren.
That was what we really thought. Please, yeah, recommend this to your friends. We're available on iTunes. Mm-hmm. We have a Facebook page, The Wild with Sea Group. We have a regular website, The Wild with Sea Group. The web address for that is wildwithseagroup.blogspot.com. That's WAWASEE group.blogspot.com.
Come.
Thanks for listening.
Yep.